Okay, and the song we sang, students, the full-timers and the community saints love you. There's love for you here. You don't need to go somewhere else in the world to find love. This is your real family, the family of God. You're born into your physical family, but you were chosen and called out for God's family. Amen. And this is it. And then for the full-timers, there's a life for you here. You don't have to be fearful, anxious about what your future is going to be. You drop your job, you don't have any pay, you don't have any position, but you don't have to be anxious because your Father knows what you need. He's going to take care for you, and the church cares for you. The brothers care for you. The player coach, hopefully he cares for you and gets with you, and so you have care. And then saints that are working full-time, the community saints, there's work for you here. Your profession is to build up the body of Christ. You may pick up an accounting job or an engineering job. That's okay. Computers, that's all fine. But that's passing away. That's not your real work here on the earth. Your real work is to build up the church. And so the church seeks your reaping hand. The church needs you. You may think, well, I'm not qualified. I don't know how to shepherd people. Well, we can all learn. It's never too late. And you've got some portion. The Lord put you as a member in the body and gave you a specific function. You're all gifts to the body. All my members in my body, they all have some function. They may be little, it may be small, but it's all needed. Right, Josh? What member? Stand up. What member of your body do you want to give up?
None of it.
None of it? You mean it's all important?
Yes.
I believe you. Now, the body of Christ, what member do we not need? All are necessary. Even the ones you think are, I don't know about that one. Well, God wants that one. So we just need to learn. We all need perfecting. We all need training. We all need to grow in life. Yeah, we're not where we want to be, but we're all necessary. We all have a function in the body, and so we're seeking your reaping hand. So we're glad you stayed. This, like Bill said, is a reunion of campus teams. There are six different teams in this area. Started 10 years ago with Chicago, and then others have followed, and they need strengthening, they need care, but it's not just their job to bear fruit. It's everybody's job to bear fruit. Amen. We all are branches. We're all living members of the body. So the Lord should touch all of us about caring for other people. God's a people lover. He's in the people business. It's like Southwest Airlines. It says, they're doing quite well, and I remember just reading something about them. They say, we are in the people business, and we happen to fly planes. Their service attitude is, we care about people, and, you know, we fly planes around too, but people are what we're interested in. That's a good way to look at it. God is in the people business. He's a man lover, a man seeker. He cares for every single human being. What a big heart. So hopefully that heart can become our heart. Okay, so today, this after, right here before our lunch break, we're going to fellowship a little bit about message 5, which is entitled what? Let's read the message title together. Okay, so this is coordinating. So who's coordinating, and what's up here? Okay, we're speaking about perfecting and training, equipping the students. So a lot of the fellowship this weekend is on perfecting, training, mobilizing, which we all need. But specifically, this weekend we're talking about college students. So the need is to coordinate the college students. How about you stand up again, college students? Stand up again. And full-timers, stand up with them. These ones need to coordinate with the church as a container for the increase. The Lord's added you, and the Lord wants to add people around you on your campuses and where we're laboring, but you desperately need all the people sitting down as a container. So we're all working together. It's one big team. Okay, thank you. You can sit down. So without a container, the campus labor has no meaning. God's eternal purpose is not a campus labor. He's given us campuses in this day and age. We just saw last night that there's 22 million students on the campus. Not so 200 years ago. The raising up of campuses has been a phenomenon that's in recent history, and we have to see the opportunity that God has provided and seize that opportunity by going to the campuses as the best fishing pond. Not the only fishing pond. There's many good fishing ponds, but for sure the campuses are a very good fishing pond. So we need people laboring in that area. And if you're not interested, if you're here today and you were just sitting down when the others stood up and you don't really care that much about college students, that's okay too. There's other people that have needs in the church. Maybe your burden is infants. Maybe your burden is junior high, high school. Great. Good. We need it. We need people to take care of the ones approaching 100. By the Lord's mercy, you'll be there one day. It's better than the alternative. Well, I guess not. With the Christian life, going to be the Lord, the alternative is better. But we need people to take care of all the needs in the church. Look at the size of this group here. There's needs everywhere. So maybe the college students are not your burden. That's fine. What is it? What is your burden? What is the Lord put in your heart? Who is the Lord put in your heart? And who are those like-minded that you could pray with and coordinate with to carry out that burden? And then you would be a joyful, functioning member in the church life. Okay, so let's look at this outline. So without the container, the campus labor really is meaningless because the purpose of it is to increase the church. And we can't be that effective if we don't have the homes. We don't have the saints. There's a potential problem if we're not coordinated. If we don't coordinate the students and the serving ones, the full-timers, and the community saints, if they're not on the same page or they're not working together, then it's possible that the fruit that we're laboring on so diligently could not be retained. Let me give you an example. Years ago, before we learned some of the things we learn now, I brought a student into my home. He had a background in Catholicism, and I had the idea, well, this brother in the church came out of Catholicism. So I would like him to come and pick up on this student because he would know what kind of background this student has. So, but the failure I had was I didn't coordinate with this other community saint and work out. We didn't pray together. I didn't inform him about the need. We had not coordinated together. So he and his wife come in. We're sitting down at the table and make it known that this person has been in the meeting with the Catholics. And so the brother, he just starts unloading all the negative stuff. Just was dying. You know, don't you know that's a great harlot and all the daughters are prostitutes? I was just going, no, no, no. Well, do you think I ever saw that student again? No. Done. Another case. Come in the home. This person's receiving, enjoying, and his dad is a pastor, and his grandpa, he has his grandpa's Bible, the student. And there's notes, I have a Bible from my grandmother. And she wrote a little note in there to me. And I love my grandma. She passed away. But that Bible is dear to me. And so this student comes in, and then the community saint starts blasting that version of the Bible. Don't you know that's an inaccurate translation? Don't you know, blah, blah, blah. I just died. You know, don't you love your recovery version? I love it. Do you know other people love their Bible the same way you love your Bible? They may love it more. They may read it more. What's wrong with that? Nothing. But if we're not coordinated and we don't have the fellowship and understand, and your finger's not on the pulse, many of us haven't borne fruit ever. Or it's been a long time. So we're not used to bearing fruit. We have grown fruitless. So we're not that used to it. And so we don't know how to take care of people. Well, praise the Lord, we're still here. The Lord hadn't given up on us, right? So we can all learn. So be willing to learn from others. Even get around people that have fruit. And learn. I do this. People that are fruitful, I like to. How do you fish? How do you catch those ones? Learn. The Lord said, "Come to me. Learn of me. I'll make you fishers of men." There's a difference between a fisherman and a catcher man. Who in here fishes? Oh, you. Okay. What's the difference between a fisherman and a catcher man? A catcher man. Well, a lot of people are fishermen, but not everybody can catch a fish. Oh. The Lord said, "I'll make you fishers of men." Okay, I'll make you fishers, but can you catch them? He also said, another place, "You'll catch men." There's a difference between just going fishing. If I go fishing, I'll probably catch nothing. But if some other people, there's a professional fisherman in Austin, he'll just pull them out. He's a catcher of men. So maybe even you have a desire to fish. Yeah, okay, I want to fish. But I can't catch anything. I don't know the skills. I don't have the way. Well, are you willing to learn to be a catcher of men? He said, I'll make you catchers. Huh? Catch men alive. That's it. You'll catch men alive. So you're not just going to go fishing. You're going to catch them. Simon, you're going to catch them.
Amen.
I'll make you catchers.
Hallelujah.
You can get you one. Get you two. Get you several catchers. Okay. So this is a solution to this problem, is to be coordinated and to be under the same kind of ministry. For example, the Normal Way of a book called Normal Way of Shepherding and Fruit Bearing. Excellent book on fruit bearing, shepherding. Preaching the gospel on the college campuses, a lot of great fellowship. How do we coordinate together? How can we be effective? How can we be catchers of men? So that's why we have number one. Let's all read Roman number one together. Being okay, so it's necessary to be under the shining of the ministry. There's a lot of help in the Bible and the ministry of the Word to bring us into oneness in our serving, one accord. And we have students, full-timers, and community saints. How about the students read the first verse, then the full-timers the second one, and the community saints the third one. Go, students. We have to have a vision. Without a vision, so we need to all be under the same viewpoint. And then now, full-timers.
And they continue steadfastly in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles, and day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord.
Okay, there's a fellowship. There's not just a teaching. Here's the teaching of the apostles. Okay, we have the teaching of the apostles. All the Christians have the teaching of the apostles. But Praise the Lord in recovery, there's a fellowship. Here, I'm from Austin, some of you from Chicago, some from Ohio, and we're in a fellowship, right? There's a fellowship of the body. So we need this kind of a fellowship of the apostles. It's a very necessary. And then community saints on Timothy, go. So we can follow. We're in this fellowship together, and we can follow one another. Follow the teaching, conduct, purpose. So that's the first point, is having this shining of the ministry so we can all be in one accord. And then Roman number 2 is about community saints. Let's read it together. Go.
Community saints going to campus.
Okay, so you can actually... Some of us can make our way on the campus, even though we're community. Even though you are not a student, you're not a full-timer, you can still go to a campus. Some of you, a lot of you have campuses, good campuses, great campuses, not too far away. So A says what? Read it. Okay, so the community saints going to the campus has a lot of benefits. One, they have a direct touch with the students. So you become a direct contact with the student. You have a direct face-to-face contact, that personal relationship. While you're going there, you are entering into their area, their domain, their turf, and so you have personal contact with them. This makes the transitioning into the homes a lot smoother. There's an example of a brother who's retired now, and he joins us for some of our coordination of the full-timers in the morning, not always there. But he'll go onto campus, and he'll meet the students on the campus, and then he brings them right in to his home. And he's got a group of them. His name's Troy Bryant. Some of you know Troy. He likes hunting. He likes fishing. He likes outdoors. And the guys just cling to him. But he goes directly. He has time. So he goes there and sits down with him and talks to him and just opens the door right to his home. So it makes for a transition in the homes easier. It also strengthens the blending that's already going on in the homes. By going there directly, it solidifies that blending, and it enlivens the community saints. You get enlivened, you and your wife, or your wife and you, that maybe don't have that much enlivening. Well, to get a young person in your home enlivens you. It's just like having physical children. You start to be enlivened, right? They'll even wear you out. Well, your spiritual children are more important than your physical children. Of course, we want our physical children all to become spiritual children. So they enliven you. Okay, I think there's someone from Madison that wants to share on this point. Is that right? I had my note. Is that... is my note right? Is there Madison? Someone from Madison, Wisconsin? They're pointing this direction. Well, here they come, right here. Should we pull this microphone up? How about you? Let's face. Yeah. How about you? Can I just do this so people can see you? We want them to see your face. Are both of you sharing?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, we got it.
So in Madison, what we've been doing this past semester, starting last fall, because our team shrank this year, we've had the community saints rise up, and basically we hold Bible studies on campus throughout the week. But we've had the community saints participate in the Bible studies. But when I say participate, that means that they essentially took care of a particular Bible study. So it wasn't just drop in if you're free this week or this day, but this is your Bible study. This Wednesday night Bible study, this Thursday night Bible study is now yours. You're responsible for it. You need to care for it. Take care of the ones in the Bible study. And that means more than just showing up each week, but also checking in on the students throughout the week, encouraging them to come to that Bible study. So I know in my own experience, we took care of the Thursday night Bible study, and there were about four or five saints in that Bible study. And we coordinated for that time ahead. You know, we talked about what we wanted to get into, talked to the students through the week. And there was actually even practical coordination. For us, it was really hard, me and my wife, it was really hard for us to get to the Bible study on campus at that time with work and whatnot. So we even had an arrangement where we picked up, my wife would pick up my daughter from daycare, and then she would drop her off at a different saint's home so that we could then be freed up to go. I left work early, just all so that we could get there on time for that Bible study. And so there was a lot of practical coordination going on even behind that time. And so, but it was really wonderful to see the community saints. It gave us a really good way to participate because it made it such a definite arrangement. And I think in our experience, we found that a lot of times the saints have a heart. They say, we're for the campus. We want to help out. Let us know. But then making it very definite, a set time, a set specific responsibility, I think really helped a lot of saints enter in.
So I just graduated in May last year and started working in Madison. So I haven't even been there for a year.
Can you hear it okay?
I think the brothers invited me to go to the Bible studies because I can still pretend like I'm a college student. But I think another aspect of it is how enjoyable it is to blend with the students and to just... it's not really that I have a big portion to share or that I have a lot of capacity to do something out of myself, but it's just a part of living the normal Christian life. We're trying to, practicing to coordinate with the saints, to know the saints, and to enjoy the word together with the students.
Very good. Thank you. Community saints, right? Very good. Okay, so going to the campus for gospel, for appointments, for ministry meetings, and then working on campus. Many of the community saints don't realize you have good jobs on the at the campuses. Some can be faculty, some can be staff. How about anybody that works on the campus, your staff or your faculty? I'd like to see how many of you work on the campus. Why don't you stand up? Anybody here? You work on the campus. Okay, some of you are professors, some of you are staff. Great. Okay, that'd be great if more could do that. You have it's a great employer, it's pretty secure. It's good for the church life in most cases, unless they're working you to death, but usually state jobs are pretty agreeable with the church life, right? So that can be another way. These have taken the opportunity to work on the campus. So if you're looking for a job, look for the campus. Okay, then moving near the campus. Some of you, I was just talking to Eugene. He's up in Ann Arbor, and he has moved near the campus. This is really valuable. It also can be a little expensive. This quote here, let's all read the quote. I hope every local church Yeah, so this is talking about renting a house, but even buying a house, you know, property taxes maybe a little bit higher, the cost a little bit higher, but it's worth it. Amen. That house is going to disappear in the next age, and so is your money. So you might as well just use it to invest in what's going to count as people. You see this wallet right here? It's not going to the next age. You see my nice little Rolex watch? Actually, it's a Timex from Target. I'm on my third band. one of the trainees in Anaheim actually gave me a new band for my watch. But anyway, it's one of my possessions. What else I got? Oh, my iPhone. Now, my wife got me. I'm in the 21st century now. That. You know where those? What's going to happen? Okay, let me see Leon Dean. He's up here from Austin. I'll pick on some of the Austin folks. Come here, Leon. Come here, Dion. Leon and Dion. Got to invest in this guy. He still wants to get with me while I'm here in Chicago. Got to invest in this guy. Mm-hmm. You know what? These are going to go into the next age. They're going to transfer into the eternal things, eternal age. Who else? Anybody else from our area that I saw? I saw Joseph Wong. Where are you? Right here? You come on up here. Got to invest in this guy. I can pick on them, right? Okay. Got to invest in this guy. He's going to make it into eternity.
Amen.
He'll be there. We'll have a great time in eternity. We'll be together eternally,
amen.
Transformed,
right.
With all the dear saints, enjoying the Lord,
amen.
And serving Him. But this is not going to go in the next age. This is not going to go in the next age. This is not going to go in the next age. Consider it. Consider. Are we just here for this age? Well, if you are, sorry, none of that's going to go into the next age. Not going to transfer. But who you invest in, who you shepherd, who you lead to the Lord, that's going to transfer. Okay? Good. Thank you, brothers. Okay, so community saints going to the campus, getting involved with people. Okay, now we have in the homes. The homes are the containers. The campus labor needs to have containers. Let me see. Let me get a few students up here. Who's still a student that's sitting up here close? Any students? Leon, you're a student. Come on. You're a PhD student, but you're still very much in the... Who else is a student? Okay, come here. You guys. Okay, right here. One more student? Okay, good. Okay, here are the students. Okay, these are fishing boats. Fishing boats. This is a boat right here. It's a fishing boat. Okay, where are some other students? Who's on campus? Anybody sitting up here? A student. Just stand up. Right there. Okay, so you go fishing. And you go fishing, and look what you catch. Okay, where's another student? Come on, right up here. Okay, you catch this one. Y'all catch this one. You're fishing, and you catch another one. You got that one, right? Come on in the boat. Get in the boat. Right, they're in the boat. Okay, now this boat is full. It's reached its capacity. It can no longer add any fish. So what does this fishing boat need? Huh? Are we done? What does it need? It needs a container boat.
Amen.
To contain some of the fish. So over here, let's get some older ones over here. Anybody from the Chicago area? How about, come on, you and you? Ken, how about anybody with a wife here? Is your wife here?
Yes.
Where is she?
Right there.
Come on up here. You got a wife here?
Yes. Yeah,
come here, wife. Laura. Okay, y'all are a little vital group over here. Yeah, you go stand right over there. Right there, Laura. You join Ken there. Okay, there's a little home together, a house. They love the Lord. They're a little bit older. Okay, what does a container, what does a fishing boat need?
Container.
A container boat. So a fishing boat, just turn your motor on and head over here.
Amen.
Come on over here. Come on, fishing boat. And now unload your cargo, unload your fish. You good transition, loving. They love them, they feed them, they welcome them, they care for them. They become happy now. They're not complaining about their health and their retirement and all the ailments and all this and that and this because they've got someone else in their life now. And now this go out, and they go, now look, they got more capacity. So where are some more students? I need two more students. Are you a student? You look young. You're a student? Come on over here. Come on over here. You're a student? Yeah, I saw you. I see you over there. Some fish like to hide. They're hard to catch. That's okay. So now we get these fish in here. Now they're loaded again. So now what do we need? Now they're going to cover it. But this is loaded again. Now what do we need? Another home. Oh, another home. Let's get another home. Is your wife here? Right there. Okay, you. And we need one more couple. You have a wife, brother? You have a wife? Where is she? Come on up here, wife. Okay, there's another home. See, I got couples together. It doesn't have to be a couple. You don't have to have a couple. Everybody can. Paul had a dwelling. He was a single brother, and he rented a dwelling place. So, but I'm just focusing on the more established ones. Okay, now what? Oh, look. So you're connected there, Leon. You know these guys at all? No? Okay, well.
I will.
Pretend like you know them. Okay. So now you get your little rudder, you get your little propeller going, and you steer it right over here. And what's going to happen? Go, 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 go. Unload, unload, unload. Ah, now they get happy. They have some babies. They have some spiritual children. Okay, fishing boat. Now guess what happens? You come back, and you got more capacity now to go back fishing. Okay, you catching on here? You're catching on? So the fishing boats need the container boats. See how they coordinate together? If there's no container boats, if there's no community, if there's no church, what are these going to do? These people, they may have a good Bible study, but they never see their future. They never get cared for in a home. They think, oh, it's just a great little group, a great little college group here, and then I graduate, then I go on to do whatever I want to do. But they never get brought into God's eternal purpose right here. This is God's eternal purpose, the church. So the fishing boat needs to bring them into the church. And sometimes this is a hard transition. This is where a lot of teams struggle. They can minister on the campus, but getting them as remaining fruit is not always so easy. Okay? So how about the fishing boat sits down? Now, I want to have, what is your name, brother?
Bob.
Come on, Bob. Bob. And where did that fruit go? Okay, Bob, come on. So here, okay, now just, you brother, your name is James. Okay, you two, the rest of you can sit down. Okay, Bob. Have you been around the church a while, Bob?
A couple of years.
A couple of years. Like how long, Bob?
Since 77.
77. A lot of you were not even born. Maybe even your parents weren't born. Okay. And Bob, obviously you've been faithful to the Lord. And were you in Chicago? Indianapolis. Okay. All right. So have you ever been to a life training?
Yes.
Quite a few.
Read
some ministry books, quite a few. Over how many decades are we talking about? 4 or 5 decades? Can you imagine if we could just see how much rich deposit of Christ is in Bob? I think we'd all be astounded. How much Christ has been poured into this man. And he's also passed through human life. You probably at least are 60.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I knew I was safe with that one. Because I'm over 60, so I...
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to catch up with Bill.
Oh, you're... Yeah. Okay. Oh, keep running. Okay, so a lot of human experiences, not just getting doctrine or teaching, but passing the human life, experiencing Christ in married life, raising children.
Yes.
And maybe now grand?
Yes.
Okay. Great grand? Almost.
Not quite.
Different kind of jobs. Different kind of house. Just all the things of human life Christ experienced in those situations. So a lot of Christ here. So Bob, this is my verse for you today. Psalm 71, if you got it, I want you to get it out. 71, 17, 18. You can look it up. It says, well, let me ask you, when did you first receive the Lord, Bob? Do you remember?
Yeah, when I was 13.
13, okay. So, verse 17, 71, 17, I remember it because 71 is old and 17 is young. 71, 17, you can get that one. It says, oh God, you have taught me from my youth. Okay, so obviously before 13, he had some teaching. At 13, he received the Lord. He's been taught from my youth. And until now, I have declared your wondrous deeds. So from my youth until now. And then 18, I want you to catch this one. How about you read 18 for me?
Okay.
So let me get the microphone over here.
So even into my old age and gray-headedness, O God, do not forsake me until I have declared your strength unto the next generation, your might unto everyone who is to come.
Okay, so I'd like everybody that's, say, 50 or over to read this verse with us. You may have a few gray hairs, but if not, they're coming. So let's all read it together. I'm on Psalm 71, 18. So even into my old age and gray-headedness, O God, do not forsake me until I have declared your strength unto the next generation, your might unto everyone who is to come. So, O God, in my old age and gray-headedness, you qualify?
Yes.
Oh God, don't forsake me. Don't leave me. Don't depart from me. Until what? Until I have declared your might. Is that right? Your might? Your strength. Your strength to who?
Next generation.
To the next generation. So don't leave me. Don't depart from me until I have unloaded all the riches. I declared your strength to the next generation. You see the cry here? You see what your job is? And that little container boat you got there? You bring these little next generations in there and you just unload. Experiences of Christ, riches of Christ. And the Lord won't forsake you until you've done, and it says that you've been doing that throughout your life. So and it says, unto, even into my old age. That means you've been doing it. So you've had a lot of practice of dispensing. So that's what your old age is for. Dispensing to the next generation all these riches. And it says your might to those who are to come. So if you dispense into him, there's some past him, right? So here, come on, here's another one. Leon represents someone that you haven't met yet. But these are the ones, it says, that unto the next generation, your might unto everyone who is to come. So there's going to be more coming down the road if you're faithful to dispense and unload. So all of you that are approaching old age or into your old age in gray-headedness, that's what you're here on the earth for.
Amen.
To unload everything you have so that when the Lord does take you, the Lord does take you, you can go in peace because all the Christ in you is not going to go into the grave with you, but it's released out of you into the next generation so you can be very peaceful because, Lord, I unloaded. Isn't that happy?
Yeah.
You're going peaceful.
Praise the Lord.
Plus, there's a future for us.
Right.
Okay, great.
In the church.
In the church. Good. Yeah. Okay, good job. Thank you. You got the picture, right? Okay, so in the homes with the container boats, this is a beginning of the church life. What a happy bunch. What a happy group. Day by day, taking their food with exaltation, praising God, having grace with all the people. Okay, now I think on A, it's getting started in the homes. And this verse in Zechariah says, for who has despised the day, underlines small things. So how about a small start? I think there's some saints from Chicago who would like to share about their small start.
Well,
getting started. Is that right? It's a sister or a couple? There we go. Okay. You're going to share on A, right? Getting started? Okay. So tell us who you are so we know.
Hi, I'm Alice Huang. I actually went to UT Austin.
Yeah, I recognize you.
Good to see you.
Another one.
Yeah. And so my husband and I, Henry, we moved to Chicago from Boston not too long ago with a newborn baby. Wanted, you know, to open our home, wanted to have students over, but we didn't know anybody. But I appreciated this part in the ministry that talks about we have to ask and pray to the Lord to have someone to labor on. If we have such a desire, the Lord will give us the proper persons.
Yeah.
We have to pray desperately to take action. We have to tell the Lord that we do not want to be dormant and that we do not want others in the church to be dormant. So we had this burden. Didn't know who to invite. But praise the Lord for the sisters' time on Tuesdays. During the sisters' time, we pray fellowship about contacts. And there I learned of the burden to take care of some new ones. There was an influx of grad students into the area recently, a lot of them right straight out from the FTTA. Joseph was one of them. In particular, two sisters. One is a new one that is a contact through a sister who's leaving to go to the full-time training soon. Another is a sister who grew up in the church life but hasn't been meeting. And so we thought, wow, this is a good opportunity to open up our home to these ones. It was a very small start. You know, on average, there's 4 to 6 people around our, you know, dining table, including my husband and I. So it's not, you know, anything big. We don't need a big space. We don't need anything fancy. We just need food on the table, you know, open up our home. And that really opens up your hearts to these ones. And so we appreciated starting off small, contacting these new ones, and hopefully we'll continue to be able to care for them.
So I want to share on point B, developing nests in the homes.
Yeah.
So my name is Joseph, and I just moved here at the beginning of this school year to attend school. And when I came here, I had the burden when I was moving to a new locality, I wanted to get built into the church here, and I wanted to enter into what the saints were doing here. But when you have, that's very ideal, but when you come here and you're actually here, it's harder than it sounds. And so I was in school, I was doing my thing, and I didn't really know anyone. And eventually I found myself to be quite lonely and alone, and I didn't know how to get in and be built up with the saints. But then it just started with a Friday night. I would go over to a couple's home, and week after week, me and the brother would start, we would pray Friday afternoons before the home meeting. We'd pray for the home meeting. But then as the year went on, it was no longer just praying for the home meeting anymore. We started praying for any needs I had, any needs he had, and then eventually we started praying about everything together. Eventually, this became a companionship. And then the brother and his wife would invite me over on Monday nights. And then on Monday nights in the homes, I experienced prayer, fellowship, care, opening up to them, love, cherishing. And eventually through this time we started to pray, I don't know how this happened, but it just happened spontaneously. We began praying for a new brother who me and some of the other students were spending time with. Eventually that brother started coming into the home with us on Monday nights. And it was just us two with the couple. And so there's the verse under point B. It's Psalm 84:3. It says, In my experience, I became like the swallow who found a home. And then in the home together, we were like the swallow who found a nest to lay her young. And so that was the new brother with the couple, and this was my experience in the home this year.
I'm Sophia. I'm actually going to share on point D, the interns coming into the homes during the fellowship. I did the internship last summer and in Chicago, and actually it was a really sweet time. When the saints would open their homes for us to go have dinner. It wasn't a meeting, it wasn't anything special, but they opened their homes for us to have dinner. And I think that time was one of the highlights of the internship, because not only did we get cared for, but we would get to know those saints in a personal way. We had that personal relationship, even with the saints around the campus. The more we went to their homes, after the internship, we started going to their home for dinner, and then during the school year, we started going to their home even more. And it was such a sweet time, because you get built up with them. And not only are they in your heart, but you're also in their heart. And that also just the body gets the body keeps getting built up.
Amen.
And so I think that going into the homes is a really important matter, because not only do the students feel comfortable there, but also you get to know the body. And the more you get to know the body, the more you can function together as one, enjoying the Lord and pursuing Him together.
Amen.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, so they covered several points. Getting started in the homes, he had a good testimony about how to begin. And don't despise, even if it's not five or six, if it's one. Just have a small beginning. And then B was that develop nests in the homes. And under this point, the point A is a core meeting at a separate time from the home meeting. Now, not everybody can pull this off, because just having a small start one time a week is a lot for some people. But others can go further and actually have some coordination among the core, the nucleus of that meeting. And they can do that hopefully physically together, or if not, they can Skype or have a conference call or something where there's just some prayer and some fellowship of the ones that are burned for that meeting to see what their feeling is about that meeting, what they're going to do the coming week. I think we have a pop-up here from Champaign, right, on the core meeting, separate time from the home meeting. Leon, is that you? Or okay.
I'm Leon. I'm a grad student at University of Illinois in Champaign. And so I got a few extra years as a fishing boat. Hallelujah.
Right.
But the fishing boat is not a complete unit in itself, right? It needs a container boat. And at this point, we call that container boat the nests, right? The nests in the homes. And so just a little bit sharing about my experience, I think to like form a nest with like a home meeting or a group meeting, there needs to be some time spent outside the home meeting together. And so, you know, from time to time, I know the ones in our home meeting, we would get together throughout the week in each other's homes, you know, just for spending time together. But then also we were able to have this time where we all got together, the core, I guess, on Tuesday night, just to fellowship and pray for the home meeting on Friday night. And Jason was one of the families there with his wife. And so I just really appreciated this time. I felt like I learned a lot there at that time, just being with these older saints. There's like three families there, learning about how to fellowship and how to pray together to care for a group of people, to care for a meeting. And there's a lot that kind of we fellowshipped about, and you know, people would throw out ideas, and then sometimes they would get taken, sometimes they wouldn't get taken. So I just learned how to have genuine fellowship, I believe. You know, just bringing forth your feeling, but not holding on to it, and just being willing to change. And so just through that, I felt like there was such a sweet atmosphere and a one accord and a harmony whenever we got together on Friday with some of the other like new ones and students who weren't there during the core meeting. And so anyways, I just appreciated this experience and just being able to be a part of that in my first year as a grad student.
Wow. Yeah, it made a big impression on me as well, just to have this time of learning that you just don't show up on a particular night and throw something together. The impact will not be there. And so I really enjoy being with the older saints and also learning how to have much and thorough prayer, learning to have much and thorough fellowship and coordination, and just learning what the real benefit of giving the Spirit the freedom to do whatever He would like to do. And I feel like that really came about. That atmosphere was there through everyone just coming to fellowship and pray. And when we would come together, whatever we were planning to do, we had a great amount of boldness that the impact would be there because the one accord was there.
Yeah. Okay, great. A lot of good fellowship, a lot of good help. Real stories. How about Manny? I think you wanted to say something along these lines. This is all one group?
Yeah, this is.
Okay, even though they're apart, how about y'all stand together? I'd like to see you together because you're a vital group, right? Let's put you up here together. All right.
Amen. So I'm Manny. This is my wife, Christina. We live near Northwestern. I'm a grad student there in Evanston. And so we have some, and this is Sister Ty Yvonne. We're grouped together with them in Evanston. And this is James. He's one of our students. He's also one of the core students that we pray with together on Thursday. So we have a home meeting on Friday. But I think we've really begun to realize that, you know, our impact really comes not just from what happens in the home meeting or having a good home meeting, but really our oneness and our being built up together. And so that requires us to, you know, and it's hard to do that within a home meeting, within the Friday night meeting. It's hard to really get related and to have fellowship with one another in a more intimate way unless we meet outside of that time. And so I think what I've really been impressed with, it's hard. We often don't know what it means. How do you get built up with another, you know, with another couple or with the students? But I just appreciate it. It's not going to happen unless you set a definite time to do it and to really fight and endeavor in that time. And so, like, you know, we all know it's hard throughout the week, especially during the weeknights. It gets really busy, and if you don't set that definite time, it's just very easy for it to slip by, and it's just kind of, even weeks go by and you don't get time with the more core members in your group to really fellowship. And you don't really even know them in a more intimate way. And so I don't know. I think these times we're still learning, and I feel like a lot of times we don't know what we're doing, and you know, a lot of times they're not often like in the third heavens or something. But I really appreciate that we just endeavor to set this time and just get together and just pray. And I feel like the Lord has a way to you know, slowly, it takes time to gradually to be built up with one another. And with that, there's the impact.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to talk a little bit about the care in the home meeting. You know, my husband and I had the home meeting about 7 years ago. And we started the home meeting 7 years ago. And back then, one of the first mistakes that we all made was we called it the Spaldings home meeting. And the problem with that was then nobody was responsible for the meeting except for John and me. So we changed it to that every home in our home meeting will host a home meeting. And that really helped. And no matter how small or deficient or far the members' homes are, we went to it. And I have to expose Manny a little bit. 18 months ago, he was a bachelor, and we went to his apartment. And, like, there were 12 of us, but he only had, like, 4 servings of everything. So we always had to wash everything before we did the next course, yes. But it was wonderful. It was really wonderful. And then in relation to the care, I just have to give my own experience. One mistake I made was that, you know, when I care, I realized I have to care in life. When we first started the home meeting, I cared legally, meaning like I made it so that everybody, you know, took a turn with the main dish, with everything, and it was very, very legal. And there were only 10 of us, and I killed 2 of the young members, and they never showed up again. And recently, I even had to, like, apologize to one of the sisters for what I did to her, you know. And one of the brothers, you know, got restored a few years later. But I feel like when you care legally, especially in the practical matters of the food, it does kill. So, but when I realized, you know, I have to do it in life, you know, everybody has different portions, every different function, different capacity, and different desires. Some do not want to bring anything at all, and you just have to let them not bring anything, you know, because in the priesthood, it's not about equal, it's not about equal function. It is that everybody functions.
Amen. I guess just briefly, 2 things that I've really been appreciating about praying for our small group on our time on Thursday. One, it is a time where we can really get a burden for one another's contacts. Because you might see them every week, but until you pray for these ones, you don't really have a genuine care for them. Amen. You know, so now when we're able to pray with one another for one another's contacts, I can genuinely go up to that person and ask them, like, how are you doing? Because I actually care. Whereas before, you know, you just see them and you may not actually get a burden for them. And the second thing that I really appreciate from this time is that actually it's a time where we can even pray for one another. You know, obviously the home meeting is for everybody that is there, but sometimes, especially if you're hosting, it seems like you are just kind of pouring out, and it's a little bit harder to receive. So on these times on Thursdays, just being able to pray for one another's needs and for one another's burdens. Just an example, because we just started opening up our homes, we fought a lot, like right before the home meeting. That was like the time where we fought. So just like on Thursday, I was able to open up to those that were in our small group, like we're kind of struggling, you know, like this is not something you would open up in your Friday night home meeting. You know, there's like young people and stuff. But through the time on Thursday, we were just able to open it up, and then they were able to pray for us. And this allows you to maintain an open home, you know, to be able to continue opening up your home on Fridays. So.
Amen. And I just wanted to share something briefly. So from the perspective of a college student who comes to these meetings, right, it's just so good to be loved by the saints. And something from the hymn that we sang, 1278, the first stanza really, you know, resonated with me. It says, "In the church of Jesus, there is love for you, love most pure and tender, love most deep and true. Why should you be lonely? Why for friendship sigh? When the church of Jesus has a full supply."
Amen.
Right. So for a college student like me, to say the least, school can be quite deadening. You know, you have all your clubs, you have to do all these things for class, all your homework, your assignments, your exam, okay, all that stuff. But, you know, that just like really kills. And so for me to just be able to come to the saints, just come to the home, have this kind of sort of nesting ground almost, it makes me feel comfortable, it makes me feel refreshed, enlivened, and enrich in the spirit.
Amen.
And so if anything, this year, I think the most like enriching and like most enjoyable times have been in the home meeting, have been with the saints. Like maybe not even like an official like organized like manner. Like, you know, if I just show up at the Choi's for dinner, like that would be really great. Or like, you know, if we go have like some sort of outing, like just being with the saints and being blent with the saints at all times is just so refreshing and enlivening.
Amen.
Amen.
Very good. Okay, I think we got one more here. Ken and Laura, you want to fellowship about prayer, fellowship, and care?
Ren Jay, can you join us? Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you want to start, Laura? Okay. This matter of fellowship, prayer, and care. Again, in the core meeting outside of the Friday night home meeting or group meeting is a real key. And when we would get together, basically we'd have some fellowship. Just how are one another doing? How's your situation? Do you need some prayer for your studies? Do you need a prayer if you're going for your PhD and now you're looking for a job? Do you need some prayer for your job? Do you, are there, you know, physical issues or spiritual issues that we need to be fellowshipping and praying about? So we had this matter of just shepherding one another, caring for one another. And then we would kind of transition, sometimes more quickly, sometimes less quickly, into the ones we're shepherding and caring for, the contacts we have, and praying for them, considering them, how to labor on them, and of course, we wind up, you know, coordinating meals as well. You know, where are we meeting? What are we going to have? But more of the time was spent on the spiritual side of how to shepherd and care for these ones. What are we going to? Right now, we've been out of the fellowship. One of these times, we've been going through the normal Christian life. Slowly, takes time to go through the book, but it's been very good. And so that's been our fellowship. How do we go on? Do you want to?
Well, when Ken first mentioned maybe we'd pop up here, I thought, why? Because it's not spectacular.
It's not spectacular.
At all. And sometimes it's also not always easy. Like it's 8:30 Thursday night. It's snowing outside and you're going to go get in your car and drive somewhere and walk. And, you know? But I've never regretted it.
Right.
And I know that I won't regret it. And sometimes there's just three or four of us, but we also have some really shy students. And when they come to that time, they do open up, you know, because it's so easy. Our home meeting's probably on the bigger side, 15, 17. So this is a time for them to be just, it's easier to talk with so few people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And pray for one another.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Amen.
And we do encourage our students to join us. Again, that varies depending on finals, midterms, and many things. But what we see happening just as a result of this time, again, it's not spectacular, but one sister from our Bible studies brought a sister in, and that sister started really, really catching on what the Lord is doing. This sister just went to the short term, and she is now shepherding another sister.
All right.
So Sister A shepherded Sister B, who's shepherding Sister C. And then Renjay just came back from a time in short-terming, and they took a brother out there that was caught, touched during our tabling a couple of years ago in the June tabling time, or in freshman orientation time, and they've been meeting with him and shepherding one. So why don't you share about your time with Christian?
Okay. So I guess a lot of the home meeting is not, or it's just a very week-by-week thing. So this brother, Christian, who we've been meeting with each week, it's not like we do anything spectacular at any particular time, but we just spend time with him. We get into the truth together. And I think just being very normal is very key. Like, I think others have shared, the atmosphere in the home meeting is one of care. So, like, for me, for any new ones, for all the saints, I think it's definitely a time where, you know, we can kind of be the church, you know, like not just outwardly meeting, but we're caring for one another. So yeah, the brother short-terming with us, it was very normal. Didn't feel unnatural at all. I mean, he didn't grow up doing with our practices, but still, I think just being with us made him a lot more comfortable. Just having us, the ones in his home meeting, be there with him, it just was very, very beneficial to him. I think that's actually what brought him there.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you. Excellent. All right, so the benefits of the homes for the students are great. Just to review, they help retain the students. They get cared for. They get into the hearts of the community saints. Someone gets into your heart. That's good for the community saint as well as the students, so they get prayed for. And a lot of times students pass through difficult times, storms, relationships, financial problems, parental problems, family may be going through something. And they need somebody that's older and understands and can care for them. So it helps weather the storms. And they also, like we said earlier, they see their future. It's not just a campus club. I can see myself going on past campus, past my college years, and following the Lord. I can see Christ lived out in different stages of human living. So many benefits to get them in the homes. And on getting a small start there, having a small start, it doesn't have to be something regular. You can just start with a meal in your home after the Lord's Day meeting. Many saints do this. They meet a student, and they just come over, not something regular, but just come over to my house and join us for a meal. That's a small start. It could lead to something, and it could just be a few students. It doesn't have to be something regular with a lot of people. Just a small, let's all say it, small start.
Amen.
So if you don't have anything going on, consider, pray, Lord, how about a small start, just something where you get someone in your home, especially one of these students. Okay, and then point B there about the development, which they were sharing on, that's progressing from individual labor to a corporate labor. I hope you picked up that these groups came up here. They were laboring together. That's what they're coming together for. And you're coming together, it may be on a separate night of the week, or maybe that's too much for you. But what about when we're already together at the Lord's Day? You spend a little time after the Lord's Day morning meeting. That happens. Or at the prayer meeting. You're already at a meeting. or at a lunchtime, something that it doesn't take the evening, but you can still have some time with your Bible group. Okay, so then we also had a little fellowship here on C. Let's read C together. Community. So we have community outings. Every semester we have community outings, and many of those are testimonies of the community saints speaking about their experiences or even their struggles so the others can hear about it. It gives testimony. So we had one brother who's not very well educated, a strong West Texas accent. He stood up and gave this testimony of how he finally broke through. I've told this story before. I don't have time to tell it again. But it touched some others' hearts, and they realized if Bill Deball can do that, we can do that. So they began to open up their home. So these kind of gatherings to fellowship about it and to hear the saints speak about it stirs up the others. Okay, D was the interns coming into the homes during the internship. The sister shared about that already, about during the summer internship or at the beginning of the fall. Part of the internship was getting her into the home. So that's required in our internship, even twice a week that our interns get into the home. So it starts to join the students. The interns are students. These are college students when we talk about interns. They're getting into the homes either for breakfast or for a meal at dinner time. So we had some sharing on that. And then E, campus outing in the homes. Okay, we used to do this once a year, a campus outing. We'd go out to Enchanted Rock or out in the nature. Of course, there's not much in Texas. You don't have a lot of beauty, but we have a few spots. But we found out that we would take the students into the homes for an outing. You could call it an inning, I guess. We're not going out. We're going in the homes. And we would have, like a progressive, we would have lunch in one home, then like early lunch, 11 or so, brunch, and then transition, have dessert in the next home. So they get to go two places, two homes, just very casual, very informal. We have a lot of the saints are on a Bible reading schedule. We're reading Galatians chapter 3 today, and so they read their chapter for that day together. So there's a chance to join these groups of people, the students and the community saints. It became so popular that now the students want to do it every semester. So now we have an inning, a college inning every semester in addition to our college outing. So now going on to point five, which will be our last one, let's read that. Okay, so we have the community saints can, going back to number one, a vision, what we're doing. Number two, you can go to the campus. So here, I'll just outline this for you. So first of all, we have a vision. So we're all clear how we're working together. And here's the church, and here's the campus. Well, we get under the same vision, so we know what's going on. And so some, under number two, they can actually go to the campus. This is a church. This is a campus. So you can actually get there. And then three shows you can get these students into your home. So it's two-way traffic. Or there's a church meeting. The church meets, at least on the Lord's Day. So here's a church meeting. And these come to the church meeting, and these come to church meeting. So you can meet not in the home or on the campus, but in the church meeting. So that's how this is broken out. So now we're talking about the church meeting. I'd like to say something specific in our situation. We did this for years where we have a good number of full-timers, and we labor a lot in the summer out in Texas heat, 100 degrees, and we're producing these young babes, these young freshmen, 17, 18-year-olds. And we're pouring out sweat. We're pouring out resources. We're giving time, thousands of dollars. Remember, Brother Lee said, spend every dollar, every dime, every nickel. So we're just pouring out. So we have, very easily, there would be 30 to 40 freshmen that walk into our church meeting about the second week of class because they want to go to church. They ask us, where can I go to church? So the first few weekends we have that meeting on the campus where we have a very controlled environment, and then we are preparing the church. We're in districts, so there's particularly two districts, Central and North, that the students, it's closest to the campus, so that's where the students typically go. And so we prepare those districts ahead of time, months ahead, we're preparing them. And they're very, very much on board to receive because the church wants to increase, right?
Amen.
Do you want to be in this, the church year after year and have the same faces, no new faces, 1 year older? That can't be that exciting. That's not what God wants. He wants to increase. He wants to add people. And so we realized we had a disconnect here. We'd bring in 30 freshmen to this meeting, and we didn't really prepare the container, now I'm talking about the church meeting, to receive them. So we did some tweaking, and you can see here, preparing the container, then we practiced for a temporary period. We practiced what Brother Lee says here in Ezekiel about having a porch, something very approachable. And this may fit in your situation. It may not fit. It depends on how fruitful you are on the campus. If no freshmen or students are coming to your meeting, then doesn't apply. But when you have 30 or 40 new people plop down in the meeting the first time, what are you going to do? Well, this is what we do. First of all, we realize that a 17 or 18-year-old grown up in Texas, who's typically these are Christians that come our way. There's some that are unbelievers, but most of them have had some Christian experience. Okay, they have a different set of glasses than we do. Right now, all of us who've been around, we're wearing the same prescription. We all have the same set of glasses. You've been here long enough, you know everything about us. You know our way of worship. You know our style. Well, if you take those glasses off and put on a 17-year-old pair of glasses. They grew up in a small-town Baptist church in Texas. They wear a different prescription. They see things differently. We see things a certain way. It's great. We have a very good, strong practice. We're not going to change it. We're going to even improve it. But you got to catch on. They don't wear the same glasses. They don't have the same background we do. There is a difference. For instance, even hourly, when they're approaching the building, there's no steeple. There's no stained glass. Then they get in the building, and there's no pews. You know what a pew is? Some of the church kids, a pew. It's a bench, a fixed bench, and it all faces the same way. And you look up and there's no platform. There's no cross. There's no choir. There's no hymn book. There's no program. There's no pastor. Some kids come in and say, who's leading this thing? The Spirit. But that's strange to them. Okay, I'm not kidding. If you don't believe me, go to one of these places and sit in their meeting. And then you'll put on their glasses. And you'll see when they come among us what they are looking for. There's many, many differences. Okay, those are just some of the outward differences. So let me mention some of the inward differences. We have a certain style of worship. Did you know that? We do. All Christian groups have a certain style of worship. I like our worship style, but it's different than some of what they're used to. And then, for instance, we practice all speaking. So it's kind of an active group. There's things going on. There's people standing up speaking. That's not commonly done out there. This is one of the things that is very unique about the Lord's recovery and is very much biblical, is that people prophesy.
Amen.
Don't you love prophesying? Yeah. It builds up the church. And that's why a lot of Christian groups are not being built up. They don't practice prophesying. Well, that's a practice that is unique. And even the way we're sitting here, usually we're sitting in four square. But they're used to just looking at the back of someone's head and all facing the same way. But here we're looking at each other.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. It brings your spirit up.
Amen. Right.
And we're speaking to one another.
Amen.
That's wonderful. But they're not used to that. Okay, here's another one. They're not used to reading in unison. You know how we read? We all stand up and read. They've never practiced that before. And or just corporately, amen. They're not used to hearing it. Sometimes in the, you know, their denomination, some of the old, one of the old guys will let out a hallelujah or an amen in the back. Yeah, you remember that. Okay. But we have a real corporate sense among us. It's the body of Christ. But they're not used to the exercise of the Spirit. It's foreign to some of them. Now, some of them can break through and get with it right away, but a lot of them, they need to be stepped up. They need to be brought into this gradually. So here's some points. We talk about having a snack for them in point two. We talk about introducing simple terms to them. Why we say amen. We use the Bible, and we explain. We educate them. We explain our terminology. That's another thing they're not used to. Adjusting the proportions of the allotted. I'm on number five now. For the introduction and prophesying, we still do that. We give an introduction. We let the saints prophesy. But we adjust what's they're more used to. And we gradually, so by week number five or six, it's looking like it would normally look. But we are adjusting proportions, even the content. We have them reading the Gospel of Matthew on a yearly schedule. So they know what the material is. They can come in. And some of them actually prophesy. Because they are in the material we're in. They're part of that. They join into that because we're in the same material. They're not used to everybody having the same Bible. Right? It's common to us, to all of us use the same version. But it's not common among those that go to some of these places. They all have different versions of the Bible. That's different among them. Are you catching on? Now, I'm for all these things. And the Lord's advancing. I'm just highlighting where they're coming from and what is in their head. And then who we are and what we are. So what we try to do is gradually step them in so they remain. The point is not just to have a good, first week and have a lot of people there. We want to see them at the end of their freshman year. We want them remaining fruit. That is what counts. Having a good number come to a meeting, that's great. But if they're not remaining, then what? Why aren't they remaining? Are we the church? Say it. Do they belong to the church? Why can't they remain then? I don't understand it. Isn't God's purpose to have the church?
Amen.
And are we the church?
Amen.
Then why can't they be in the church? This is something we've been working on. And by doing this in fellowship, it's very important to do this in fellowship. It may not fit. The elders of the church are responsible for this. So it has to all be done in fellowship. If anything is done at all, has to be done in fellowship and appropriately. So we tell the saints we prepare them this time of the year. A lot of times in August, people are getting into school districts, neighbors are moving in. So it's kind of a special gospel time. So we open it up to the saints that we're going to have a few meetings where if you've been wanting to bring somebody to the meeting but you're not quite sure they're ready, we're going to have a meeting where they can be really warmly received, have a snack, and that's a time to get ready to bring your gospel friend to the church meeting. So the whole church is on board, not just the campus ones, but they have a chance to. And so we've been experimenting with this. I don't say that we're there, but at least we're endeavoring to bear remaining fruit. Praise the Lord. This glorifies the Father, and we're out of time.